that's right. We are here at Sharp Facets Gallery today. Yes, I'm Ann Eller, and I have the one and only Michael Genovese from the Abbeville Opera House. He's been everywhere, and then you ended up settling right here in Abbeville. How long have you been here in Abbeville now, Michael?
You know, we are starting the 32nd summer theater season here in Abbeville, so this is my 32nd summer season, and I've been here probably year-round at least 28 or 30 years now.
From stopping by.
I'm a South Carolinian now.
All from stopping by to do a road show.
Exactly. Being in a touring theater company and stopping into Abbeville for two weekends of performances, and all of a sudden we've got the 32nd summer theater season staring us in the face.
That's terrific. So you just had your award ceremony. Everybody worked hard last year, and it was a successful season.
It really was. We had a terrific winter theater season. It was our 102nd winter season at the Opera House. So this fall, we're going to be kicking off the 103rd winter season with The Sound of Music. But before we get to any of that, we've got three summer season shows that we're working really hard on. We open the first weekend in June, so it's going to be here before we know it.
It is amazing that summer is actually right around the corner.
Oh, it's incredible. I can't believe it. And we had some great rehearsals yesterday afternoon, and then when I finish talking to you, I'll be back on stage rehearsing I Ought to Be in Pictures, which is the first show that opens the first weekend in June.
Well, and that's Neil Simon, so you know that's a good one right there.
It is. Attendance already. We're getting lots of calls from tour groups and church groups, senior citizens, and, you know, those are the lifeblood of our summer season at the Opera House. We love those tour buses, so we've been getting a lot of calls from those as well as individuals. So the box office is open, and we're ready to take reservations. And I think we've got really an exciting summer season that a lot of people want to see. It's a very entertaining, three very different, very funny shows, and we'll get you out and make you laugh.
Well, you know what? We need that, don't we?
I think we do now more than ever, that's for sure.
So what is I Ought to Be in Pictures about?
Well, you know, it's about an hour and a half. No.
Okay, it's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, it's really one of Neil Simon's older shows. We haven't done a Neil Simon comedy in quite some time. But it's not one of those, laugh a minute, 15 jokes on the page comedies. There's a lovely story behind this as well. It's about a screenwriter who lives in Hollywood named Herb Tucker. And Herb left his family 16 years ago when his daughter was 3 years old, and he had a son who was about a year old at the time, and he moved to California. He's never seen the family since then. They have had no contact.
Okay.
And one morning, he gets a knock on his door in his house in California, and this 19-year-old girl shows up there who ought to be in pictures.
Ought to be.
And she is his daughter. It's a very, very funny comedy, but there are some incredibly touching and tender moments in the show as well.
Was there any reality on this show for him? Was any of it real?
I don't think so, but you know, it has that feel. He wrote Chapter 2 right after he was divorced from Marsha Mason, and the style of Neil Simon comedies after that point really changed. He could find poignant moments, and went on with shows like Proposals to Win a Pulitzer Prize, and this is one of his earlier works that really has an incredibly powerful story behind the comedy. I mean, there are lots of jokes, and the characters are wonderful. We've got a super cast. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, now you are in it.
I am Herb. I'm playing the role of Herb. I thought we've got to get this in the summer season, because if I wait any longer, I'm going to be too old to do Herb. And my daughter.
You couldn't have a 19-year-old daughter, is that what?
Yeah. Well, actually, I do.
That's why it was important this year.
Me and Jack Nicholson. Yeah. But my daughter Meg plays Libby, the daughter in the show, and Kay Gross from Augusta, who's worked with us many times at the Opera House, plays Steffi Blondell. So it's a three-person show, a wonderful story, and like I said, we hope everybody will come out, and we'll make you laugh, and we'll also make you think a little bit, too.
Well, you know, the Opera House is just such a nice venue, and Abbeville has been doing so much work over there. My goodness, they have redone the sidewalks and working all this type
we
of work.
We have the town square has been renovated. Now, not renovated looking new, but it's just been
renovated looking old.
The sidewalks were, you know, a little rustic, to say the least, and so the square is far more handicap accessible now. It's beautiful. We got lots of new plants and shrubs and trees and flowers and all of that. So everything should be finished in time for the summer theater season. Of course, we had the our spring festival just this weekend in Abbeville, so they kind of had to stop work on that. And the only thing really left now is the landscaping.
Landscaping.
It's going to look. I think it's going to look great, and it's going to be a lot easier for the Opera House patrons as far as. Loading and unloading and getting into the theater and all of that. So, we're happy with the results.
Well, you know, I think Abbeville just seems to be on fire over there.
You know, it does. We're very busy. This winter season, you know, we were talking about this earlier, we started so slow with the 2010-2011 winter theater season at the Opera House. And then something's happened in 2011. Around January of this year, people just started coming back. We did an older show and a show we've done many times at the Opera House, Dearly Departed, in January. And for the first time in our winter season, we started selling out. And then it carried over into Life with Father. And by the time we got to a brand new Southern comedy called The Red Velvet Cake War, I mean, our attendance, we were on fire. We were sold out. Standing room only, and the balcony was full. We actually sold more tickets to the Red Velvet Cake War, which was in April of this year, the opening weekend, then we sold for the first two plays of our winter season combined. And one of those shows was a musical. So I don't know. I know the economy's been a big factor in attendance. People are being far more selective in the way they spend their money. But something's happened around here that started at the first of this year, and people are starting to come back out. We had, for the Red Velvet Cake War, we had eight different church groups from throughout North, South Carolina, and Georgia at one matinee. The tour buses, for some reason, are starting to come back out, and I think people are just... they're still fed up with the gas prices, and that still affects us, but they're wanting some entertainment now.
I think it might have something to do with your chamber over there, to tell you the truth, because the chamber is being so aggressive out there and, you know, getting things out there. That's what I think may have some, because people are going, oh, yeah, Abbeville.
They do. They do a great job. They're promoting Abbeville really well. We had a wonderful spring festival. I don't have any attendance numbers, but, I mean, we had great attendance that you couldn't. It was elbow-to-elbow people for the Swingin' Medallion Saturday night on the square, as big a crowd as I've seen. And I think we're beginning to get back on that roll that we really experienced it in the 90s in Abbeville, and especially at the Abbeville Opera House. We had several seasons in a row where we would bring anywhere from 15,000 to 17,000 people in for a season at the Opera House.
That's a lot of people coming through Abbeville.
Yeah, to come and sit in the theater and see a show.
Right.
And it's dropped down after 9/11, you know, and throughout 2001, 2, 3, 4, and 5, we were down to about 9,500 per season.
That's a big drop.
So, I mean, incredible for us. And it's gradually starting to build back up for us, so we're really excited about that. And, of course, with that, then there comes the responsibility.
Absolutely. You know, you got to do good shows.
Exactly. That's what they expect. So that's
you got to keep them coming back.
That's exactly right. There's a lot of pressure there.
That is. All right. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We are here with Michael Genevieve just talking about what's going on over there at the Abbeville Opera House. Stay tuned. We got a lot to talk about. Don't you go away.
The classic never goes out of style. The classic can be worn every day. What classic am I speaking of today? Diamond earrings, of course. Classic studs. At Sharp Facets Gallery, our diamond earrings are the best. From 0.25 carats to over 4 carats in rounds And, of course, Princess, Pear, or Emerald cuts. Best selection, best price, best quality. Buy a pair of diamond earrings today and watch your eyes light up. Sharp Facets Gallery, 72 Bypass Greenwood.
You're here with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Heller. Our special guest is Michael Genovese with the Abbeville Opera House. Live from Sharp Facets Gallery, here's your host, Ann Heller.
Oh, that's right. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I do want to remind you the price of gold has bumped back over $1,500 an ounce, so you want to come see us. Don't take a chance on letting it drop back down there. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. You know we're buying gold, silver, diamonds, platinum. We buy it all right here. We pay the most. You'll be glad you came to see us. And don't forget about our auctions. Just have had some action on the auctions on Sharp Facets Gallery. Lots of new items up and more items going up every day. So make sure you check it out at sharpfacetsgallery.com. Go there. Check it out. We've got a Cabbage Patch doll. We've got pearls. We've got, somebody bid on the cranberry apple that we have, the glass apple. Great teacher's gift right there. So check it out at sharpfacetsgallery.com. But today, my very special guest is Michael Genovese. He is the executive director over there at the Abbeville Opera House. He is telling us that it's going to be a great season. I Ought to Be in Pictures by Neil Simon coming up June 3rd, 4th, 10th and 11th, and of course we have Friday night and Saturday night 8 p.m. performance and a Saturday afternoon matinee. So we were just talking about the way Abbeville is, shall we say, on fire. You have been excited to see that, and we're talking about the people that will be coming in from outside the area, how much people are hungry for something to do.
Oh, I think so. We're getting our attendance in the summer season of the Opera House throughout the years has kind of leveled off to really a majority of our attendance. About 85% of the people who come to the Opera House in the summer come from not only outside Greenwood and Abbeville area, but from outside the state of South Carolina. One of the reasons that our attendance is starting to pick up now is that not only are those people coming back, our tour bus people that we work with, which we've got about 30 to 35 tour bus operators that we work with on a regular basis from Virginia and the both Carolinas, Georgia, and Tennessee, they're starting to come back. Regardless of the gas prices, the people, they're getting the groups to come back. But I think we're also seeing people, more regional people coming from Greenwood, Newberry, and Columbia, and people that will make Abbeville just, let's drive over and see what the show is. All of our matinees are always the first to sell out. So, and I think it's just because a lot of people want to come in. They'll have lunch in Abbeville. They'll walk around the square, check out all the antique gift and curio shops, see the show. And by 5:30, they're either over at the Village Grill having dinner or back on the bus heading back to wherever it is they're coming from. So it is a more economical
And the historic value.
Yeah, there's
is there.
Plenty to see. I mean, you've got all kinds of the Burt Stark House, the Trinity Episcopal Church, and plus, as I said, all the antique gift and curio shops that you can check out in the Opera House. So it really makes a great weekend. We've got lots of bed and breakfasts in Abbeville, so we do get a lot of people who will come in Friday evening or Saturday morning, and they'll spend the night and see the show and hang out in town. You've got a farmer's market,
and the library
well. Oh, we do, yeah, the livery stable. They've had Annie Houston's done a great job. They have live at the livery with different bands performing all the time. We've got Flicks on the Bricks. So there's something going on, not just on the weekends that we have our shows, but in the summer we have shows every weekend, Friday and Saturday nights, as you said, at 8 and Saturday afternoons at 3. So I think it's going to be an exciting summer. We've got a great season of shows, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you know what? That's what it takes to make things happen, is for the director, the executive director, to be pumped up and fired up and making things happen. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, you had a great experience with Erskine College when y'all worked together with Erskine, didn't you?
You know, we have. We've done several things. We've had internships with Erskine as well as with Lander University over the years as far as having students coming to the theater and working on particular productions. But this year we did a joint production with Erskine College, Once Upon a Mattress. It was our musical that we put into the season. It was directed by Dr. Brad Christie, who is on the Abbeville Opera House Board of Governors as well. So it was a wonderful joint effort that I think we're going to be able to continue through the years here at the Opera House, because
That'd
it
be
gives
good.
Them a really unique space to perform. That Opera House stage is really unlike any other. It's a 7,800 square foot stage. It's 75 feet to the grid. We seat about 350 people. We have box seats on the side. I mean, it really is like stepping back in time. I know last week you were in Washington. It really reminds me a lot of the Ford Theater in Washington. And I know they just finished the renovation there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, the minute they walk into the theater, you know, the weekends, that's when we're doing the shows, but we have lots of tour groups through Abbeville through the week. And I love being in the theater when a new group, or even individuals, small group, walk around the corner to the back of the theater and walk in there, and just that initial look on their face, because they do not expect to see a facility like that in a little town like Abbeville, and it really is unique. That's one of the reasons that the Opera House never appeared in the movie Sleeping with the Enemy. The location scout came, and I met with him, and he went, "Wow, this is great." And if you remember Sleeping with the Enemy, the older movie with Julia Roberts, her boyfriend in that movie was a theater teacher. And there were scenes in a theater where he was directing a play. And the location scout said, "Oh, this is incredible. I can't believe it. We're going to shoot here, and then we could do all these other scenes." And then when the director got into town and he looked at the theater, he said, "We can't use this. Nobody would ever believe that a small town would have a theater like this. This looks like a New York theater." So they ended up going to Presbyterian College and using their little black box theater.
So why did they build a theater like that in Abbeville?
You know, it's unique, and it's so different from, like, the Newberry Opera House or the Springer Opera House. There's Thalian Hall in Wilmington. In the South, there were opera houses all over the place in Sumter, but the ones who were built down here were spread out. If you notice, there's one or two floors, and they had more land down here.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that the Opera House looks the way it does in Abbeville is it's actually based on a vaudeville theater that was in existence 100 years ago in New York City. When the community decided that they wanted to build the Opera House, it was because there were all these vaudeville, minstrel shows, burlesque shows that were traveling the country. They were put together in New York. One of the most popular circuits was called the Keith Circuit. And one of the most popular tours was from New York to Richmond, Virginia, and then from Richmond to Atlanta. So for 20 years, all these performers out of New York came through Abbeville, and Abbeville was like an overnight stay on their way to Atlanta to do the show. And so the community said, you know, if we had some kind of a facility, we could have these shows here. So they wrote to the producers in New York. The producers sent them the ground plans to the theater that Keith was using to put his shows
together.
So they copied it. That's why we have four floors of dressing rooms. That's why we have such an incredible grid. It's 75 feet to the grid. You can fly anything. We've got 21 lines in that theater to fly scenery in and out. It's built up because in Manhattan, land was at a premium.
Sure.
So everything went up, and it's kind of compact but tall. And so it looks like a lot of the Winter Garden in New York. It looks like a lot of those old New York theaters. And that's one of the things that I think amazes people when they walk into. You see a little sleepy town like Abbeville, and we just went to see the Burt Stark House where Jefferson Davis had the final cabinet meeting, and then we're swinging around to the oldest Episcopal Church in South Carolina, and then they walk into like a New York theater that looks like it would have looked 100 years ago. And it is amazing, and it's just an absolutely incredible space, and it has a wonderful feel to it. I don't get to act that often on stage, but I love being on the Opera House stage.
Well, there you go. Hey, it's time for South Carolina News. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk Radio Station.
Monday,
Welcome back to Meet Me at the Diner. Your host, Dan Eller, with special guest Michael Genovese with the Abbeville Opera House. Here is your host, Ann Eller.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at Sharp Facets Gallery buying gold. Buying gold. Gold is up over $1,500 an ounce again, folks. Better take advantage of it. Who knows who's going to decide to sell a bunch. In fact, silver's back up, too. So take advantage of the prices being up today. Don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, so come see us today. Don't wait. It's at a great point, and take advantage of it before it makes that slide. So anyways, we are here with Michael Genovese, who is the executive director of the Abbeville Opera House. We've been talking about their first production coming up June 3rd, 4th, and then the weekend of the 10th and the 11th, I Ought to Be in Pictures by Neil Simon. That's going to be an excellent show, but then they decided they've already cast it. They're working on their second show as we're talking about this, Red, White, and Tuna, and this is a first.
It is. It's first brand-new Tuna script, really. Now, it's been around for a long time, but the authors, Jason Williams and Joe Sears, are also the actors, and they've been touring that show for years. As a matter of fact, we've been waiting 8 years to get the rights to Red, White, and Tuna. It's been around that long. I saw it years ago at the Kennedy Center. Also saw them perform it in Atlanta. I knew 9 years ago that as soon as it was available that we would want to do this show at the Opera House. And this spring we finally got the rights to that show.
They're tired of touring. Is that what you said?
They're still doing it, but they do work. It's really interesting. I think a lot of the Tuna scripts, and the Greater Tuna, A Tuna Christmas, and I think Red, White, and Tuna, they have a following of their own. There are people that just come to see all these crazy
characters. There's people
characters.
That are tunas, right?
It's a quick change comedy. Two actors perform all the roles. We each do about 22 different characters representing all the citizens in Tuna, Texas. Red, White, and Tuna, though, the premise is set up around a 4th of July festival that Tuna has. We have a beauty pageant with a lot of the women from the community involved in that. There are high school reunions taking place, everything centering around the 4th of July. And it is hysterically funny. We've got some brand-new characters that haven't appeared in Greater Tuna or A Tuna Christmas. You don't have to have seen either of the other shows to enjoy Red, White, and Tuna, but if you're familiar with the Tuna scripts, there are a lot of developments that have taken place over the course of the show, and that will amuse you as well, I think. But it's just a funny, quick-change Southern comedy that
actually,
I think people want to come see.
Actually, it's the dressers that have the hardest roles,
don't
they?
Oh, isn't that? They honestly, they're the magic in the show. They're what makes it happen. For example, the way Tuna opens, there are two characters coming back to their high school reunion, these two girls, Amber and Star.
And who plays the roles in this?
David Eller and I do all the roles in Red, White, and Tuna.
And I've got to tell you, David Eller made an excellent girl the last time I saw him in the show.
Yeah.
I just want that to be on the record.
I'm sure he'll be so happy to hear that. Yeah.
All right.
He makes
a fine-looking
woman. Amber and Star, they have one line. They're in the car on the way back to Tuna. This is the first scene. And she says, "Do you think we can pick up the radio station?" Because that's how it's always started before. So this is like a little prelude. You're used to hearing the radio announcers, Thurston and Arliss. So they reach down, turn the radio on, and you hear over the speakers, "You're listening to radio station OKKK in Tuna, Texas, broadcasting at 275 watts. And then the lights come up, and Amber and Star are Thurston and Arliss, and they're in the radio station doing their morning radio show that I'm sure you can appreciate. But, I mean, we're going from two women completely dressed as women riding in a car to Arliss's cowboy hat with a mustache, a whole, head to toe changes. And it's really the dressers that it's a quick change show. And it's the magic of those changes that really kind of, the show almost runs itself. I mean, you're just glad as an actor to get out there on stage because that's when you get your break, when you're acting in the scene.
Otherwise, you're standing there being dressed.
You're running around. Sometimes you don't stop. Sometimes as soon as you hit the wings, the dressers follow you. Now, there's lots of Velcro and things that, complete suits with a shirt and a tie and the jacket are all one thing, and you just step into them from the back, and they Velcro up the back, and you turn right around and go back out, and somebody's putting a hat on your head or taking a wig off and sticking a mustache on you, and you just keep walking. And
there has to be someone that checks you as you go back onto the stage, because wouldn't it be a hoot if you were a woman and walked out with a mustache on?
Yeah, we got a great story from years and years ago. Andy Omundson and I did the show, and the dressers somehow got one up on me, and I was supposed to go out as Dee Dee Snavely, and when I come back, they put me in Petey Fisk. So I walk out as Petey Fisk in a scene that is supposed to have Dee Dee Snavely in the scene. So now we have these huge charts that are blown up and checklists to make sure, and they cross it off. They just skip the line and set it up. And I mean, and there's no time to think. These things happen so fast. But it's one of the most fun shows, also one of the most exhausting as well, and so different from I Ought to Be in Pictures. And then we've got the Foreigner to close the season in August, and just one of the most talented summer companies that I've ever had the pleasure of working with here. I mentioned earlier my daughter Meg plays Libby in I Ought to Be in Pictures, and Kay Gross has worked with us for years. She's a favorite with Opera House audiences. She's playing Steffi in I Ought to Be in Pictures. Then David Eller and I are doing Red, White, and Tuna. And we've got an old friend of mine, Charlie Peterson, who's coming up to play Charlie in The Foreigner. He's done that role for us before. He is one of the funniest foreigners that you will ever see anywhere, and just a great cast. David Eller's back for The Foreigner, as is Marianne Campbell and Brad Christie, Summer DeBose, Shelley Reed, and Ryan Hewitt. So that's going to be a super cast for The Foreigner as well. So we hope lots of people will continue the trend that seems to be developing at the Opera House and give us a call, make those reservations, and come see us.
That's right. So, you know, one of the things we've had a couple of call-ins here.
Oh, yeah, it's so neat that people are calling in on us.
Absolutely. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. But we had Bill Marks from over there in Savannah Lakes. He says the ticket prices haven't shot up in the selection of plays that are like old friends. And that's why he keeps coming back over there to from Savannah Lakes over there to the Abbeville Opera House.
Well, you know, we really do make an effort to try to keep our ticket prices as reasonable as we can. Everything's going up, expenses for production expenses, the royalties, and everything on the cost of the show. So we've made a real effort in trying to keep them at a reasonable price. And in the summer, our main competition in the summer as far as summer theater is, of course, the Flat Rock Playhouse in North Carolina. That's the State Theater of North Carolina. And our friends over at the Barter Theater in Virginia. They're the State Theater of Virginia. And we've done the same shows. We've helped each other out with shows and loaned props. And these guys, they do a great job. And we kind of share the same tour bus people, too. They go to Flat Rock, or they'll go to the Barter, and they'll come to the Abbeville Opera House. But our ticket prices, in many instances, are almost half of the ticket price of Flat Rock and the Barter. And we have a lot of tour group people that will say, you know, we can come to Abbeville and have lunch in Abbeville. We can go to Yoder's, or we can go to the Village Grill and come and see the show for less money than a ticket to a lot of other theaters.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's really been a big plus for us, and one of the things that we really work hard at keeping our ticket prices reasonable. So.
Well, you know, and I think sometimes something in your backyard you just overlook, don't you?
Absolutely. I think, too, that our attendance is picking up because of the gas prices. There are a lot of people who hadn't been to the Opera House. I mentioned earlier, 85% of the people come from outside South Carolina to the Opera House, but I think
That's
we're
amazing.
Starting to see more people who are from this area, who have never been into the Opera House, never seen a show over there, and they're going, well, there's got to be things to do that aren't quite so far away.
Sure.
That we can drive, see a matinee, and get home, you know, before dark. So
particularly
I think that's
when you
really
look
helpful.
At going to Greenville, going to some of the big shows
absolutely.
There. I mean, you know, let's do something close to home, support our local folks here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So. That was Bill Marks said that. Then Bobby Jean Mills, retired from Indiana, is now living in Savannah Lakes. And she said, the towns in the Midwest are like that on a circuit traveled by the New York actors along the rail lines.
Exactly, exactly. Lots of those vaudeville shows would come by railroad into Abbeville. Sometimes they would come by horse and buggy, you know, and big wagons to set up. They would get into town on Wednesday afternoon, and it was such a big deal in Abbeville from 1908 into the 20s and 30s that the people would meet them Wednesday afternoon on the square. They would parade around the square with wagons,
right.
Or they would the train would pull up right underneath the Belmont Inn,
right,
which
yes.
was the Eureka Hotel. And they would unload. They'd get mules that would help pull the set pieces up the ramp to the back of the opera house, set up that performance. And we even have a cage in the back of the opera house that we use for props now. But that's where the livestock was stored back there during
gosh.
The show.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, we use that as a prop room back there. But, yeah, there were hundreds of these theaters spread out all over the country at one time, and unfortunately most of them turned into parking lots or, you know, were torn down. So we're so lucky to have the Abbeville Opera House not only still in existence but still doing what it was originally intended to do, and that's to house live theater.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Michael Genevieve. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Happy days, Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Gold dust.
This year will be a simpler year, one fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love, a diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
You're with us at Meet Me at the Diner with host Ann Eller. Michael Genevieve's our special guest at Sharp Facets Gallery. Here's your host, Ann Eller.
Absolutely. We are back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Michael Genevieve. Hey, one of the things you need to remember is that the Abbeville Opera House is the official state theater of South Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, that's a big honor.
It is a big honor. We have we've twice received the South Carolina Governor's Travel Award for Tourism. There are only two other places in the state that have received it more than once. One's the Spoleto Festival in Charleston.
Well, there's a big one.
And one is the Darlington 500. And the third is the Abbeville Opera
that's
House.
That's pretty big.
That was a cool thing. And then several years ago, they designated this as the official Rural Drama State Theater of South Carolina. So we're right up there with the Shag as the state dance and the Carolina Wren. And I don't know what else, but there are
well,
a bunch of
states. Well, Amethyst is the state stone.
Hey, there you go.
There
state
you go.
Stone, and now you got a state theater. So,
and
yeah,
it's right here
company.
In our area. That's the
right
thing that always amazes me,
mm-hmm.
is that people do, we talked a little bit about it, people overlook the fact that we have good things right in our own backyard. We always think we have to go so far away.
Well, you know, I mean, people who grew up and live in Washington, D.C., and they've never been to the Washington Monument, or people in New York who have never seen the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's just, it is amazing to me. And there are so many people in Greenwood and Abbeville that say, you know, I've always wanted to go over there, but I've never been over to the Opera House. And they've just, you know, it's 10 minutes down the road. But
yeah,
that seems to be something that I hear a lot of. So we're hoping to get a lot of local people out this summer.
Absolutely. So coming up June 3rd and 4th and the 10th and 11th is I Ought to Be in Pictures by Neil Simon. That does have 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 3 p.m. matinee, and just, that one weekend and one weekend, two weekends
right.
on that show.
Yeah, we've got six performances on I Ought to Be in Pictures. Then we're taking one weekend off, and we'll be right into Red, White, and Tuna. That's going to run for, I think that's a three-weekend run.
One, two, three,
and
yep.
then we go to The Foreigner, which is another three-weekend run, so... we hope that people will come out. Give us a call. Our box office phone number is 366-2157. We're there Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. So if you want to talk to a real live person, you can give us a call right now. But you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, and leave a message, and we'll be sure to get right back to you on that. If you want to know any more about any of the shows, we're opening with The Sound of Music for our 103rd winter season in September. And we've got a sneak peek at all the upcoming winter season shows, as well as all three of these shows that we're doing this summer. You can go to our webpage at theabbevilleoperahouse.com. And find out all you need to know. We've got all the history of the Opera House and all the shows that we're doing, all kinds of good stuff on our webpage.
Now, also, can't somebody buy season tickets?
You can. We have something called a stagehand membership for the summer that allows you admission to all three of the summer season shows. You can do it right over the phone with a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover. Just call our box office, 366-2157. They'll take care of you there. Or you can make individual reservations for any or all of the summer season shows as well.
So, and you know, there is not a bad seat in the Abbeville Opera House.
I know it sounds like a cliche, but
it does,
is true.
Right.
We only have 9 rows, actually. We seat about 350 people. There are 218 seats downstairs. Our balcony has been restored as well. We have a brand new concessions area upstairs in the balcony. More and more people now are requesting the balcony
seats. Well, it's a great way to
see. As well as the box seats.
Yes.
I know, we did an interview in there.
Right, exactly.
Great acoustic. The acoustics in the balcony are actually better than the ones downstairs back in 7, 8, and 9 rows.
Sure.
Just because sound seems to travel up. But I don't know, they had it down 100 years ago. I mean, you can whisper on that stage and be heard really from anywhere in the auditorium. So, we've got about 350 seats. So, you know, we get one good tour bus or a couple of the church vans, and we start filling up pretty quickly. So we hope people will call soon and make their reservations and come see us this summer.
That's right. And that's 366-2157, 366-2157. 10 to 2 live person on board. That's amazing.
That's true. You can talk to a real live person.
Don't you love that when they
Jane.
Say
it's a different live person every day of the week. But Monday is Jane Day, and she's over there just waiting to take your call.
So pick up the phone and give them a call. June 3rd, 4th, 10th. You know, June will be here before you know it.
Oh, don't tell me about it. I've got a lot of lines to learn between now and June 3rd.
Okay, and then it'll be the debut of Red, White, and Tuna.
Red, White, and Tuna, and then a back-by-popular-demand comedy called The Foreigner. I think it's one of the funniest comedies anywhere, and it's got a lovely message, and just it's a great piece of material for some really wonderfully funny actors, and we've got an all-star cast in that one, too. So I think it's going to be a great summer season.
So you don't want to miss it. Make sure you put that on your list. Bookmark their website. What's the website again?
The Abbeville Opera House. That's all one word. TheAbbevilleOperaHouse.com.
And what about these self-guided tours? You can have people come over?
Yeah, we're open 8:30 to 5. You can come in and just wander around, snoop around, and see see our ghost chair up in the balcony that we have, and check out the theater. You know, we've got a lot of posters and pictures on the back. We've also got a lot of the sayings that were posted in the theater 100 years ago, directed at the men and women. Please do not spit chewing tobacco on the floor, and, you know, things
bring
like
your
that.
Spittoon with you.
They're very funny, but they were actually framed and in there, so we've got those throughout the theater. We have posters from some of the productions that were on the stage 100 years ago that we've got a lot of vaudeville posters and things, so you can come through and just walk around and give yourself a little self-guided tour.
You know, you have to look back, Michael, when you first came to the Abbeville Opera House. There have been so many changes, and it really has been a work of love to do something like this.
Oh, isn't it the truth? Yeah, every year we try to do something to improve the theater. Our last renovation were the dressing room projects, and that became a very expensive project for us to undertake. But we put all the dressing rooms back to their original turn-of-the-century condition. We have a state-of-the-art computerized lighting system in the theater now. We have all new ropes and rigging and battens and everything hanging over the stage. All the chairs, we got those really comfortable rocking chair seats, and they've all been reupholstered, and we have new carpeting, and the balcony's been restored.
And an old building always needs
place.
Work.
Oh, it's never-ending, though. I'm telling you, that project never ends, but it really is a beautiful facility, and if you haven't been out to see it, we hope you'll come and see us this summer.
You know, when you came there 32 years ago, did you think you would still be there?
I had no. It was a weekend show. I came in, and we said, we'll come back next weekend. But, you know, the minute we walked in the theater, we came in a few weeks before we were going to perform, and I brought my stage manager and my technical director, Roger, I even remember their names. That's how long it's been, though. Roger Cobb and Michael Yarborough, and I walked in the back of that theater. Now, we've been doing the Barn Dinner Theater circuit, and we've been performing at resorts and country clubs and, you know, mainly 1- and 2-night engagements.
Sure.
And when we walked in and saw that space, you know, our mouths dropped open, and we said, I can't believe this. So we did two shows that were in our repertory that first season, and we said, we liked it so much, although we had maybe 35 people in the audience, that was about it. We decided to come back the next summer, and we did 10 plays in 10 weeks the second summer season. But they were all shows that we had 14 shows that were touring at the same time. And we would bring them in on Friday and do a Friday night and a Saturday show. And then Sunday we were back out on the road. So the third summer we decided, let's come to Abbeville and be in residence for those 3 months. We will not sell road shows then. So it was the third summer that we spent the whole summer here. And we were the first professional company in residence since 1917.
Since 1917,
they had a theater company in residence there for a short period of time. So we were the first professional theater company since 1917 in residence. That was our third season, which would have been 1981, I guess, or something. And then it's grown, and the attendance was growing, and we were coming back, and we went from a 10-play season to about 8 shows in 10 weeks. That was still a killer. Then we went for a number of years, maybe even 15 years or so, we did about 5 plays for the summer. And then as our attendance would grow, we could run the shows longer. And so we've been to a 3-show summer season. We have a June show, a July show, and an August show. And we've been that way for a long time. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know what, Michael? It sure has been a pleasure to have you here today. The number to call if you'd like to get a reservation over there for I Ought to Be in Pictures coming up, Red, White, and Tuna, and the final show, The Foreigner, is 366-2157. That website again?
It is theabbevilleoperahouse.com. You can email us at operahouse@wctelnet, and we'll
fix you up.
We'll take care of you, yeah.
All right, go see them over there. You'll be glad you did. This is WLMA right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Thanks so much, Michael, for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Ann. Always love it.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye, Ann.